Well, they say that you need to be prepared to preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice. Scott got the prayer, so I'm going to preach because Angel would kill me if I opted for dying. So, you may not even need a Bible this morning. That's a pretty bold statement. If you do, like me, they are in the pews. I came real prepared. No, I wanted to preach out of a real Bible, not just off a cell phone. But most of you are probably very familiar with this passage. How many of you happen to know John 3:16? Okay. Well, a wise trying to decide what I want to call him. A wise livestock holder once told me that if not all of the livestock come in, you don't put all of the feed out, right? And so I'm just going to give you a little feed this morning because we just got a few livestock. And now, when I say that, all of the guys feel pretty good because they envision themselves as a bull coming up to you. Ladies are already upset with me, but this livestock holder was a sheep farmer, so ladies don't get too upset. John 3:16, I'm going to read that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So often, this is a cliche verse because it is probably the most memorized, most well-known, and yet often most misunderstood. This was part of Jesus' teaching when Nicodemus came, and he was a great teacher of the law but didn't really understand it. And Jesus talked to him and said, you have to be born again. And then we have this incredible verse. And part of why it is one of the greatest verses, if not the greatest verse in the Bible, is because there are many great promises found just within this one verse. What does it start with? God. And I just want to ask us, myself included, is that where you start? Not just the start of your day, but is that really the central point of your life? You know, so often we will say things when things don't go well, like, well, I guess all I can do now is pray. Sort of like that's our last resort instead of our first response. And I just want to encourage you, where are you starting your day? Where are you starting in your mind? Because a true relationship for eternity that we're going to speak on in a moment starts with God. And you and I have to come back to, am I choosing everything but God? And then it says, and by the way, this is the greatest lover. And then it says, so loved. This is the greatest degree. How wide? How high, how deep, how long, what is the breadth of that love? Well, we know the answer to that. It is when Jesus spread out his arms on the cross, right? That love for us. But are you living in that love? You see, it's easy for us to have disappointments in this life, to get angry, to get frustrated, to allow ourselves to maybe get bitter. What is it that is motivating your life? Is it the love of God? Or is something else, maybe anger, frustration, sadness, fear? There can be many emotions, but I just want to encourage you, look at the greatest degree here, love. And then we have the world. That is the greatest audience. I'm sure you guys aren't going to watch the Super Bowl because you're super mature Christians and you don't have time for games. No, I'm kidding. But that is touted. It's interesting in America, they call it, when they win, they say they're world champions. Well, only America and Canada play American football, so it's not really world champions. But even if it was, how many people are going to be there? Really, not that many in comparison to what we're told here. This is the greatest audience, the world, not just those who are living now. This is past, present, and future. So often, Christianity is called exclusive. Now, the way to God is you can't just get there through whatever made-up way you want. It's only through Christ on the cross. But do you notice how exclusive this is? Because this is for everybody. And I want you to think about that. Not just for you, but when you go to the grocery store and that person gets in line ahead of you with a whole cart full of stuff and you've got like one item, Jesus also died for them in the midst of your frustration. That person that's on the road and they obviously didn't take their driver's test like you did. You're an instructor. There's so many situations of life, right? Do we look at people that way? That God loves them? And it says that He gave. This is the greatest gift. Now, one thing I know about gifts is that they have to be received, right? And I want to ask you, have you received the gift of God's love through Jesus Christ? And it's so easy for us to assume because we're in a church service that we're all saved, but maybe there's some here that haven't ever fully received that. You know about it. You may even know about God, but do you know God Himself? But it's not just that a gift has to be received. You have to what? Unwrap it, and then you have to use it. And I think one of the fallacies of the church today is it's just all about just getting saved. But isn't it also about us serving out in the midst of our salvation? Now, I've got two probably arguably cutest grandkids on the whole planet, and you probably have the same, maybe more, but they're the cutest too. But yesterday, as I did this funeral, my grandson said, "Hey, Pop," that's what he calls me, "can I come stand with you?" And he stood at the door and greeted all these people. And it was just so fun to watch that and be able to do that together. But I think about times where he has received gifts. And he plays with those and he's super excited about them. And then at some point, he sort of gets bored with it. Can I ask you this question? Have you gotten bored with your salvation? Have you gotten bored with God? Have you ever gotten to that place in your life where it's so like, yeah, I know it's all wonderful, but I'm not really excited about it. I've lost the joy of my salvation. I want to encourage you, maybe today you're saved, but maybe it's time to unwrap the gift a little more. And then it says, He gave His one and only Son. This is the greatest gift because it's the greatest sacrifice. As I was standing there thinking about this verse yesterday and as I think about it today and looking at my grandson and my son sang yesterday in the service and looking at my son, I thought, pretty sure I couldn't sacrifice my son. I definitely couldn't sacrifice my grandson. And then I looked at my son and said, you know, it's not that you're not awesome, but you're not grandson awesome. You'll understand someday. I'm just learning about it now. But as I think about that, man, to give to that degree, the greatest sacrifice that Jesus would lay down His life for us, to take on our sin even though He was sinless. And in a moment, we're going to practically get to experience that in communion. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." Why? Because we so easily forget. It isn't a guilt thing like Jesus saying, "Hey, don't forget what I did for you. I want you to feel guilty." He's saying, "I want you to feel God. I want you to feel grace. I want you to feel the freedom that you have because of what I've done." And then it says this, that whoever, this is the greatest opportunity, whoever. I don't know if you've ever had some really awesome opportunities in your life. I didn't know it at the time when God called me to be a pastor, but Man, what an opportunity to be involved in people's lives. Some of you have had the opportunity to do some pretty awesome things I wish I'd gotten to do, like fly fighter jets. I mean, that would be an awesome opportunity. But think about this opportunity. It is the greatest opportunity of our lives. And I wonder, have you taken advantage of that opportunity? That whoever, it's not limited to just a certain group of people culturally. It's the whole world. And then it says, whoever believes, this is the greatest degree, or greatest decision, excuse me. We make decisions every day. I don't know why, but you made a decision to get up today, get ready, drive the treacherous roads, and be here, right? You made that decision, and you're thankful for that decision. Tomorrow, you're going to make another decision. Some of the decisions we make are seemingly meaningless. Should I have chicken or beef? Well, that's not really a decision. It's beef, okay? But some of the decisions that you make are huge. Who am I going to marry? How am I going to love them? But the greatest decision you can make is a decision to believe. The Bible says we have to accept and admit our sin. But then it says that we have to believe that Jesus Christ came and died and bled on the cross and covered that sin. And then we have to confess Him not just as Savior, but as Lord of our life. What decision have you made when it comes to Jesus? As I had an opportunity to bury a friend yesterday, she lived a full life. Some don't. But none of us know how long we have. But in this moment, we are given the opportunity to make a decision, to believe. And then it says, in Him. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven by which we may be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. This is the greatest name. And then it says, shall not perish. That is the greatest assurance. I think one of the things that the enemy wants to do to us is when we do make a commitment for Jesus is to cause us to doubt that. Do you know doubt is one of his favorite weapons? It's the first one he used in the garden. Did God really say? Well, what did God say? We start to doubt things, right? And sometimes he comes and he points and he says, well, you did this and this and this. You had these thoughts. You lived this particular way. Are you really saved? Maybe God doesn't love you anymore. And what happens is we start to listen to his lies. And I want to encourage you today, what truth have you traded for trash? And maybe today, one of the things you need to do as you take communion is you need to take those thoughts captive, those things, those lies that have been said to you. Maybe today you need to say, you know what? I'm done believing trash. And I am going to trade it in for the truth of God's word. And then it says this, have eternal life. This is the greatest possession you and I could ever have. I've got some pretty cool possessions. They're things that are really old, or they're things that are tied to family members that were handed down to me. I mean, they're pretty cool. You might not think so, but I do. But I could pull out some things like, hey, didn't know if you knew this, but my grandma was the queen and I've got her crown. You know, that one over in England that died. I mean, that's a pretty cool crown. There's some sapphires and diamonds and some pretty cool things in that. But it pales in comparison to the possession, eternal life. Years ago, there was a commercial back when they made real milk that had cream in it. Not this skinny milk that's not real milk. And it was Got Milk. And there was always someone with a milk mustache. You can't get that with skinny milk today. It just didn't even stick on. You might as well just splash your face with water. But it was Got Milk. But I wonder today for us, can I ask this question? Have you got Jesus? And if you have Jesus, do you have the joy that goes with Jesus? Or have you been allowing some things to get in the way of the joy of your salvation? Greatest verse in the Bible. 12 great promises. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you speak to our hearts. And Lord, thank you for blessing us in this church. Thank you for blessing us with a great pastor, Dieter, and a great pastor's wife, Georgia. And Lord, we just pray your encouragement on them today. And I just pray that you would continue to bring healing. Thank you for the church that we have, so many that serve. And as Scott has already prayed, Lord, we have a lot of we have a lot of needs. We're sheep, but Lord, we also have a lot of praises. And I thank you for Sue and her birthday. And Lord, I thank you for just an incredible church to be able to love each other and to be loved, to reach out. We want to lift up our missionaries. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.